This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Welcome aboard, everyone. My name is Adam Ritz. We do public affairs here on The Adam Ritz Show, and my good friend and broadcasting legend, Jay Baker, is joining me. Hi, Jay. How's it going?
It is going well. As you and I know, the fall is the great time of the year.
We've really been, outside of the hurricanes, we've really had a pretty decent fall in the northern part of America with the temperatures. Of course, I don't want to make light of the weather. If you've had a certain part of our listenership is in some areas that have been devastated with weather-related issues, Hurricane Helene and Hurricane, was it Milton in Florida?
It was Milton, yes.
So, if you're still dealing with those issues and headaches and life-changing events, we pray for you. Of course, we always support redcross.org. If you'd like to volunteer or find out how you can still help with the people suffering from those weather-related issues. But for the rest of America, my gosh, the temperatures have been so above average. I know we're in the Midwest where late October, you're looking at November, you're looking at 30 and 40 degree temps, lows in the 20s even. And we've had highs in the last week near 80. It's just been unbelievable.
Yeah, it's been impressive. And, fall is when people love to get out, do a little leaf peeping, as they call it. And then certainly as you head into Halloween, you want to be able to get your little monsters and ghouls to their appointed candy rounds without dealing with weather, you know?
Yeah, well, now that that one down, two to go as far as this kind of holiday season we talk of, from Halloween through Thanksgiving and then the end of the year with Christmas, New Year's Eve and all that. One down, two or three more to go. And as we look toward Thanksgiving, Jay, I wanted to mention now is the perfect time to plan ahead for what we like to promote, the turkey trots and the drumstick dashes that are happening across America. Wherever you live, even if you're in the middle of nowhere, I would guarantee you're within 45 minutes of some sort of turkey trot or drumstick dash.
Yes, and it's a great way, as you've said, to get a little activity and oftentimes raise some money for charity.
Yeah, the drumstick dash in our area does portion of your registration fee goes to feed the homeless on Thanksgiving. The actual meals are paid for by the registration fee. So find out what kind of 5K, 3K, 6K, 9K is involved with your Turkey Day weekend. My advice is don't do it if you aren't serious about it, because it is early. The ones I've done several in the Midwest, several in the South, a few in Florida. Every single one I've done is at like 8 o'clock in the morning, which I get. I'm not a morning guy, as you know, Jay, but I get these things have to be early because people want to get home to prep for their holiday family meal, the feast. But when the race starts at 8, you've got to get up at 6. So that's just brutal.
Well, it is, especially for a guy not accustomed to doing that. And then we always laugh, you do it for the greater good, if it's charitable, et cetera. And, it's always great to get some activity, especially on a day where you're going to eat a lot of calories. But I always love the people that calculate, I just did a 3K turkey trot, what I must have burned. And then you double check and it's like, I burned about 275 calories. Oh, but I'm about to eat 275 calories in appetizers alone for my big day.
So. Well, I think the average caloric intake on Thanksgiving is 10,000 calories.
Isn't that amazing?
For the day. And you're right. You go do a 5K and you burn 300 calories, and then you go eat 10,000 calories.
Yeah. You know, that, when you say that, we're the first to, you know, try to get people healthier. We ourselves try to be as healthy as we can be. But you got to hand it to America. It's a holiday about eating, and they get to it, don't they?
We really do. We really do. And I will say, you know, not just the caloric math, but there is really hardly any other great way to start the day than with that turkey trot or drumstick dash, not only to raise money for charity, but there's just something about the camaraderie. You can do it with your family, you know, make some t-shirts out of it, get some sort of theme going on, wear the same hats or the same colors. And then later on in the day, I'm talking about the best nap you will ever have in your entire life. I mean, you're going to have a great nap anyway with that turkey. That, what is it, tryptophan?
Yes.
You throw in getting up at 6 a.m. and running 3 miles. Oh, my goodness. That is the best nap you'll ever have.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct about that.
All right. So what else is happening in your world?
Well, you know, we look at various charity organizations and charity activities, amongst many other things, here on the Adam Rich Show. But here was my little brief story I wanted to start off with. Anna Kendrick was involved in a film project with Netflix about a California serial killer. And after doing this particular performance, I think it's called, oh, goodness gracious, it just flew out of my mind.
Have you seen the movie?
The new Netflix, I have not seen it yet. The Woman of the Hour, I think is, yeah, that's the name of it. The Woman of the Hour.
Okay.
Anna Kendrick starred in it and was also the director. She donated all the money that she made from the project to different women's shelters because she said she just got so creeped out making that movie and realized, you know, how easy it is to get victimized. So I thought that that was very, very nice of her to do that.
That is above and beyond. I mean, I don't even recall the last time I heard about a Hollywood star donating their salary or their proceeds to charity. What a fantastic gesture. Anna Kendrick, for our listeners that are scratching their head, maybe I know the name, maybe I don't. What have I seen her in? She, you know, when my kids were younger, she was in their favorite movie, The Pitch Perfect. I don't know if you've ever seen Pitch Perfect, about the a cappella singing.
Yes.
She was one of the stars of Pitch Perfect in that franchise. She was also in Twilight, a small part. She was in The Accountant. I loved her in a movie called, I think it was called Mr. Right with Sam Rockwell. What a fantastic movie that is. But anyway, hats off to Anna Kendrick for, now I wonder if that was the plan going in or if, like you said, she was just so emotionally moved filming the movie and learning more about the victim and victims that she was like, okay, I'm donating my my salary to help.
I think she was touched by the victims. And then, you know, I think too, the observation of we are very fortunate to live in the society that we live in, but with those freedoms also sometimes come horrible tragedies, inexplicable tragedies where people bring horrible malice and death to their fellow humans. And you and I know, sadly, it's very random. I'm not being flippant about it, but you know what I mean by that.
Sure, for sure. Very.
So I think she was struck by that this really could have been anyone's story.
I will put that on my list. I know, like most people, I have a list in my phone of shows and movies to watch. That is at the top of the list.
Yes, absolutely. We were talking. Oh, pardon me.
Oh, that's all right.
I was hoping this wouldn't happen. Doggone it. I'm sorry. I'm dealing with some fall, either allergy or cold issues. You know how we always say moderation. So Excuse me.
No, you're fine. This is the time of year when the dead leaves, the almost like my backyard's almost like a dust pit of leaf particles just floating around the yard.
Well, absolutely. And we talked a little bit too, you know, post pandemic, you know, we hadn't all been around each other, and you forget that you can occasionally get a cold here and there. Yeah, so wash your hands and be aware. And then, as Adam just said, try not to inhale the dust that's coming off the leaves.
Well, I tell you, Jay, that, you know, in the voiceover industry, where I do a lot of my work, there's a term I like to use called the growl. And a lot of male voiceover artists have such a great growl. And it's when their voice gets low and it purrs like a tiger. And your growl today is top notch, my friend. It is.
Well, there you go.
It is at its peak.
Well, there you go. Thank you so much. Hats off to Metallica, who donated $100,000 to Hurricane Milton relief efforts from their All Within My Hands Foundation. Have you ever looked up that All Within My Hands Foundation, Adam?
Well, you've mentioned it on the show. It seems like once every 3 or 4 months, they do something amazing that you bring up. Yeah, share it with us.
Well, I was just going to say that it's certainly worth a look up, because this is a band that has been highly successful through the years. They basically have said that we've had such great fortune as musicians, we want to share it. And so they actually created a foundation that directs the money that they're going to spend, and they have some fun with it. One of the fun things they do every year is they set up a contest so that marching bands in high school and college perform Metallica songs, and then they are in a friendly competition, and their band may or may not make some money from that. So I think stuff like that's a lot of fun. They did a thing not too long ago with the Carhartt Corporation, and you're going to think I'm making this up, but women carpenters, because they pointed out that in the construction industry, women are not as likely to pursue those careers. However, those careers are very open to women. And why not encourage more women to perhaps think about that type of job?
That is, you know, when I first got into Metallica in the early 90s, I really didn't have that on my Metallica bingo card, that they'd be going above and beyond to help women become carpenters. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, and I always forget the drummer's name. He's
pretty... Lars.
A pretty outspoken and bigger
Ulrich.
Than life. But Lars is famously an art collector, but also a philanthropist. And it's so funny, because the standard rock and roll thing would be make millions of dollars as a rock star, spend millions on paintings, then just be an utter and complete, horses behind everybody around you.
That's the rock and roll playbook right there.
Yeah, but apparently they were able to get out of that rut. So here's a question for you as we get into the winter concert season. The concert landscape has really altered quite a bit. And in this regard, tell me if you think I'm thinking along the right lines. Mm-hmm. You can't go to all the shows because it's just prohibitive to most people's budgets.
Yep.
So you have to kind of select the shows you really want to go to. Let's say you want to go see your favorite band, because they're going to be at your concert arena in the next 6 months. In the past, you'd wait, buy tickets, and just go to the show. But you're thinking, I waited this one out, I want to get the best tickets possible. There's all these ticket resellers and companies that put together packages like tickets plus VIP experience, mm-hmm. plus meet and greets and all the rest. So you end up, instead of the old, hey, you bought a pair of tickets for $30, which, you know, that era has obviously passed. Now you're spending possibly $600, $700, $800 for a relatively typical concert. Have you found that to be the case?
Oh, without question. Yes, it is a. It's not only a night out. I mean, it used to be a night out where you had to plan, whether that meant babysitters or a reasonable budget. Now you have to get a wealth advisor. You need a financial planner to help you plan your night out for your concert with all the extras, like you mentioned, premium parking, VIP. Because who wants to go to the bathroom with the riffraff?
No.
So you get the VIP section so you can at least have a clean bathroom. Maybe it's even air conditioned if it's in the summer when those concerts and bathrooms are so hot. So yeah, it could be $400 a person. That's still not a front row experience. You're just going to see a band you love and you're hopefully within the first 30 rows.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad that you kind of feel that that's the way things have gone. I'm not sure it's a good thing. But it does fall under the category of, if this band experience is especially important to you, you're getting the most premium package you can. You just have to pay for it.
Yeah, that's true.
The reason I brought this up is, tell me if you think she's overstepping, but Chrissy Hynde, who is the front woman for the Pretenders, mm-hmm. Wrote in social media, she wanted to thank everyone who's come to see our shows, but she's sick of seeing the same fans in the front row again and again. What's happened is these are entrenched fans that buy blocks of tickets and they shut out other concert goers' opportunities. And so Chrissy Hynde is basically asking her fan base, give the local fans a chance.
That is, that's a risk. I mean, those are your most passionate, aggressive fans. If they're willing to travel and pay top dollar to be in the first couple of rows and you're telling them, please don't come.
Right.
But you know what? It reminds me of the story of Billy Joel. I've always heard that Billy Joel, for years, decades, has not sold tickets to the front row of his show. He's never sold tickets to the front row. He holds them back for every single concert he does. And then he has handlers, roadies, that search the crowd in the nosebleeds to find the fans that are like singing every word to his songs, really into the show, maybe have a Billy Joel t-shirt on. And then they give those fans the front row tickets to move up front to have an experience that they otherwise wouldn't have. And those are the fans that really appreciate it. And one of the reasons Billy Joel did this, I read, is that he was sort of unlike Chrissy Hynde in that he wasn't sick of seeing the same people in the front row. He was sick of seeing people that were just sitting in the front row with their legs crossed, not singing along, you know, just the quintessential rich guy that could afford to go, that's just sitting there and doesn't even look like he's having a good time.
Right.
So that front row experience, man, I've been fortunate enough in my radio career to have a lot of front row seats. It's a game changer. It is a different experience than sitting in the back or in the nosebleeds. And if you have a chance to check your budget, see your favorite band, if you can afford it, I mean, jump up in the front row. It really changes things. My advice for a concert experience is to really check the venues, much like what we just said about the drumstick dashes and turkey trots. There's probably one within 45 minutes of your house. If you live in a decent-sized town, there's probably some small venue within an hour's drive that has a band that you would actually enjoy seeing if you just would search them out and look at their events page. You know, George Thorogood comes to mind. I just had this conversation with a friend of mine who recently saw George Thorogood. And, you know, George Thorogood's not going to play in a stadium or a packed arena. But he's going to play a venue with 1,800 seats, and he's going to put on a heck of a show. And you're going to know a lot of the songs and have a great time. And it will be affordable. You can, you know, make an evening of it and grab some dinner, and you're not going to spend $800.
That's actually a great point, because, you know, the concert business is sort of outpriced itself.
It's really tough. I don't even really go to those big shows anymore, partly because of the price, mostly just because of the crowds and the parking, and it's just a hassle. So I would almost pay more to go see an artist in an 1,800 seat venue, just because I know it's going to be easier to park and easier to get in and out.
Right. No, you're absolutely correct about that. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting observation. Yeah. An artist saying, hey, we appreciate the fans that are spending so much money, but you're pushing out the casual fan. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, what do you do? I mean, it's darned if you do and darned if you don't kind of observation.
Yeah, that's I'd love to see how this plays out with Chrissy Hynde, see if there's any backlash. I don't think there will be. I mean, if I'm a front row guy at her shows and she says that, it's not like I'm going to lose any sleep or be devastated. I might just say, look in the mirror and go, wow, that's a pretty good point.
you're going to say Chrissy Hynde yelled at you.
Yeah, she's putting you back on the chain gang, Jay.
That's right. Yeah, you're going to brag to everybody that she yelled at you. Well, you are not incorrect about how much we look forward to our holidays. Thanksgiving is the next big one up. You and I love the fact that it is a time for family and friends and football and eating and everything, but holiday sales are slated to set a new record again this year. The National Retail Federation announced they could go up as much as 3.5% from last year, reaching, now here's what's amazing, $980 billion. See, for me, I need a specific dollar amount.
Oh my gosh.
Because you and I know, I mean, goodness gracious, it's a good time to be alive and well.
That's nearly that's nearly $1 trillion, Jay. And you just think,
yes.
Okay, if is that the world or America?
That is America.
That's just America. So you kind of got to think, if we would just stop buying Christmas trees, we could cure cancer.
Well,
$1 trillion.
Yeah, the question begs. But yes, I just think the numbers are often fascinating. And the reason why I brought this up, it is a good sign for America that easing borrowing costs have had an impact on our economy, because no matter what they say in Washington, D.C., you can never spend yourself to prosperity. And I'm not saying that to be political, but I think America is on much better footing, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I, you know, fully admit I'll be part of that $980 billion. It won't be a big part of it, but it will be part. And I'm assuming that, you know, on a recent show, you mentioned that Americans spend $11 billion on Halloween. Is that considered one of the holiday spending? Is that built into this $980 billion dollar number?
I don't know, but that's a small dent in the $980 billion.
Yeah, it really is a small dent. That's amazing that $11 billion is just a small pittance.
Yeah. You know, part of this is football snacks. Let's be upfront, kids.
Yeah, you know what? College football playoff, that's gonna raise this 980, maybe up to 981.
That's right. The snack food industry is pretty excited. Now, here's something, Adam. I don't know how seriously you take cooking turkey, but this is a revolutionary new product, and you're going to hear about it first on the Adam Rich Show.
Okay.
First of all, how serious a turkey cooker are you?
Well, I am not a serious turkey cooker because, and I know I'm hijacking your story here, but we've got time for this quick side off here. This may not be popular, but I think a lot of our listeners are gonna say that's me too. For Thanksgiving, you're gonna kill me, Jay. I skip the turkey. I go for the sides. I get two or three plates full of sides, and my strategy or theory is that I can have turkey any day. I can have turkey anytime. You can get a turkey sandwich at a local deli, but I can't get all of those amazing sides that everybody makes for Thanksgiving every day of the year. So I eat three plates full of sides, and I might have a bite or two of turkey, but it is literally it's the last thing I go for on my Thanksgiving plate.
That is very funny and very systematic and very truthful. I love hearing that.
But, you know, we're hosting Thanksgiving this year. Melissa just mentioned how we're going to do a dry run, a practice run of making a turkey to make sure we understand, you know, we have an oven that we haven't used before. We got to make sure how many minutes and what the temperature and, you know, how long do you thaw it? I mean, these are questions I don't know the answers to. So we are going to have a practice run. That seems like a good idea. And it gives me a night full of turkey weeks before Thanksgiving. So I'm not saying I don't like turkey. I love it. But I just, on the actual Thanksgiving day, I want the sides.
Well, you'll love this. My wife and I, we don't do this because the size of the staffs have changed. But we used to have a thing we used to call Refugee Thanksgiving. And what that was any newly divorced friends, any radio station coworkers. We all knew no one's going to be hanging out with family. Why not hang out with friends on Thanksgiving? And I used to take my turkey cooking very seriously. We used to have a place down the street that had these amazing farm-raised turkeys. We used to, you know, do the whole thing where you baste them and and there's another phrase, and I'm sorry. You know, really, if you're going to do a radio show, you should have a good recall. But at any rate, just suffice to say, no one needs to hear all this from a froggy voice guy. I used to take the cooking pretty seriously, and I have found through the years most people are very intimidated by preparing a turkey. Well, now Butterball Company has introduced a frozen turkey that can be cooked without thawing or prepping or anything. So you can actually take the turkey, take the wrapper off, and pop it in an oven.
That is, that could be a game changer. I mean, thawing the turkey is a big step, part of the process. I mean, you take that out, that opens up more time to be able to make more sides.
Well, here's what's funny. You know, we have to laugh. You and I are not old by any measure. However, you and I know generationally, everybody had a different approach. I clearly remember family members defrosting turkeys at room temperature in their kitchens several years ago.
Oh, for sure.
But that era has obviously passed. There's a new thing. It's called food safety. I don't know if you've heard about it. But now with Butterball, you don't have to worry about defrosting the turkey.
You
just have to pop that baby in and rock and roll.
That's from farm to table. Now it's from freezer to oven. Jay Baker, thank you so much for coming on. Those are amazing topics. If you'd like to hear this episode again in podcast form, you can do so. Not only this episode, but all of our recent shows are listed on the website adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit adamritzshow.com.